2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, out of respect for the word of God, everybody please stand. As I continue to preach in your hearing, building and battling while waiting and watching part 9, the Second Coming Chapel, message number 293. It has been a busy day. We have witnessed three prominent pastors who have died of the coronavirus plague pandemic be funeralized today. And one of our organizations carried both of those funerals. And one funeral was pretty sad. They were obedient to the laws of the land regarding COVID, coronavirus, plague, and that is a big reason why it seemed to be sad. They did the right thing. They don't want anybody else getting sick like that. And so it was a sad funeral. When you a place, an auditorium that is normally full, and here is the pastor of that church being funeralized, and it's only a handful of people, and people are wearing masks in the pulpit. It was respectful. It honored him in the best way they could. They honored him in the best way they could, considering the way he died and considering the situation. They know firsthand how deadly the coronavirus is once it grabs hold of you. So, and they saw the pain of their pastor and their family member and what he went through, so they don't want that on anybody. And so they went 100% in this funeral, which would have been one of the largest funerals in recent history under normal circumstances. But it was a sad funeral because he died of the coronavirus, and the place was empty, pretty much, and rightfully so. But they did the best they could. And as always, this particular church, they did everything with excellence. And so did the other church across the nation. So it's been one of those days. Building and battling while waiting and watching, part 9, Second Coming Chapel, message number 293. And this is why, with so many people dying, so many of God's people dying, we all need to be looking for the upper taker. And sad to say, the undertaker too. When other people die, you need to take note that you're going to die one day, and what you do in this life matters a whole lot. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray, Lord, tonight, help everybody here and everybody out there know that you are everywhere at all times, and you know about everything, and you're here with us tonight. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And tonight, Holy Father God, we individually and hopefully collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults as your people, or those at least who claim to be your people. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, I praise you. I don't know about anybody else, but Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your chastisement. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you would chastise me when I'm wrong. You have made it very clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that those you love, you rebuke and chasten. And otherwise, Lord, if you didn't do that, we would be bastards, as your Holy Word has stated. That is, without a rightful father, without our natural father, and supernatural father in your case. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help your people to love you back and to thank you for chastisement and rebuke, that you love us so much that you will chastise us to help us to understand that you do not want us to stay in a negative way and in a certain negative way with sin and disobedience and rebelliousness. So Holy Father God, break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be, and be thorough with us. And Lord, I am so happy that I can say that to you, because I have no fear that you are going to do anything to hurt me or to hurt any of us. And I know that everything you do it because you love us and you want the best for us. And I thank you also that it teaches us to fear you in the right way, to respect you, and to obey you, so that we can be in a position to be blessed and to receive favor. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, as always, because we're constantly taking it to the devil and his wicked kingdom. He's constantly taking it to us, so we're not surprised and we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Holy Father God, however, we must pray like you said to pray, to watch and pray, because the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal, sabotage, Jezebel and treachery and pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and witchcraft, Sanballat and Tobias with hindrance and distraction, those demonic spirits and sins and attitudes, Lord, we pray tonight that you'll cast them out of the people here who have that problem, and those, Lord, who have that problem out there, for these demonic problems are everywhere still in this wicked world, wherever you have sincere people striving to proclaim your gospel and to preach your holy word. These people don't understand it. They don't realize it. Their minds are blinded by the devil and by devilish people. But Lord, we pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would open their eyes and pull back the covers the devil has stuffed over their heads. Rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from their wicked, already wicked minds and hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil in our personal lives, in our family life, in our ministry life, in our church life, so that the gospel can fly all around the world. And Lord, help us to always be as your people, unmovable, always abounding, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain. And our Holy Father God, Saturday nights, as you know, down through the years, Lord, for many a preacher have always been difficult. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll guide me through this evening and night and into the wee hours of the morning, and be with me all the way, as well as be with other of your called servants. I do pray, Lord, tonight that you deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Holy Father God, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, for those of us who name the name of Christ, help us all to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and to get back to you, our first love. And then, Holy Father God, we pray that you would save those who are lost in this country and around the globe, revive those who are saved, Lord, in this country and around the globe. Heal those who are sick in this country and around the globe. Lord, for your people, help them to call for the elders of the church and help them to confess and repent of their sins, and help them not to take communion tomorrow if they're living in sin. For so many have died, I believe, because of taking communion unworthily over the past year. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless now and anoint and prosper our communion service tomorrow, if you should tarry your coming and if you would allow us to live. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort those who are grieving tonight. Many, many people have lost loved ones to the coronavirus plague pandemic. Even many, many thousands of believers and family members and friends. So, Holy Father God, speak to our hearts. Help us to change our ways where we need to change our ways. And Holy Father God, we pray that if we do right by you, please deliver us, Lord, from our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Lord God in heaven, we pray tonight, bless and protect our family and all other Christian families, our ministry and all other God-called ministries and churches, Lord, from ourselves. Protect us from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. And Lord, I do pray that you would place upon us tonight the whole armor of God, surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us, Lord, and bless us and cover us in the precious blood of Christ. Cleanse us, Lord, of all sin and iniquity, afresh and anew, and make us whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight as we witness three preachers' homegoing services today. All have died of the coronavirus plague pandemic. And Lord, we thank you that by your grace and your mercy, you've seen fit to keep us alive, to continue to preach. However, we are well aware that we deserve to go this way as well, and we all deserve to go to hell. And so, Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your holy word that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Holy Father God, in light of all that has taken place today, Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. And for his sake, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Building and battling. And if you are serving the Lord today, my friends, you're building and battling. The three pastors, one pastor with his wife, who were remembered today, their days of building and battling are over. If you're still here, your days of building and battling go on until Jesus comes, until the Lord calls you home. Building and battling. While waiting and watching. That's what we ought to be doing. Dr. J.C. Ryle said, "To keep our eyes steadily fixed on the second coming of Christ is one great secret of Christian peace." With people dying, people falling away, negative things on the left and on the right, families, ministries, and churches filled with Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases, Demases, and demons. We're building and battling. And if you're not building and battling, you are playing and straying instead of, you are playing and straying instead of praying. If I may borrow a few poetic words from the modern day prophet, Leonard Ravenhill. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, regarding this passage as I go deeper into the background, "But I am excited about the meat of the message. I really am. But I want you to have more background knowledge regarding this very powerful and intriguing passage. Once again, Peter exposed the ignorance of the scoffers. Not only were they ignorant of what God had done in the past, but they were also ignorant of what God was like and who God is. They were making God in their own image with their finite minds and ignoring the fact that God is, watch this now, a very simple word, but I want you to get it, eternal. God is eternal. This means that he has neither beginning nor ending. Do you understand? Can you get that? Can you grasp that? Man is immortal. Now, God is... Let me make sure we get this right now. God is eternal. This means that he has neither beginning nor ending. Man has a beginning, but not an ending. He is immortal. He will live forever, either in heaven or hell. But God is eternal without beginning or ending. Now, for some of us as Christians, these are simple truths, but they're simple only to us who have been walking with the Lord for a while, but they are profound and they're very important for us to remember. God is eternal without beginning or ending, and he dwells in eternity. Eternity is not just extended time. Rather, it is existence above and apart from time. Peter was certainly referring to Psalm 94, 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. This is why the Bible, my dear friends, is so important, because it provides revelation about God and about eternity and things unseen that we would not know about otherwise. That's the benefit of God's eternal word and the wisdom that he imparts and the knowledge that he gives us. Isaac Watts used Psalm 90 as the basis for his familiar hymn, O God, our help in ages past. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Since 1,000 years are as one day to the Lord, we cannot accuse him of delayed fulfillment of his promises, because we're not on the same, if you would allow me to say, playing field. You don't understand. We're not on the same playing field as God, if you'd allow me to say that. In God's sight, the whole universe is only a few days old. In God's sight, he is not limited by time the way we are, nor does he measure it according to man's standards. When you study the works of God, especially in the Old Testament, you can see that he is never in a hurry, but he's never late. Now, I will say, and I do believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. You've heard me say that when Jesus came, if you read the Gospels all the way through, and you preach through a gospel like I have done, there's no doubt about it. The first young man in a hurry was Jesus Christ. On the human side, if you'd allow me to say. It was Winston Churchill who wrote the famous book, Young Man in a Hurry. May I say to you, there's nothing more excited. There's nothing more exciting than a young man in a hurry who somehow he's gotten the vision of what God wants him to do, and he's in a hurry to do it. There's few things more beautiful than that. When a young man, God has gotten hold of him, and he's fired up and ready to go. And he's in a hurry for the glory of God. There's nothing more beautiful than that on earth. The same thing for a young woman in a hurry who is doing the right things and doing God's will. But anyway, on the human side, if you'd allow me to say, I have said while preaching through the Gospel of John, and especially John, and preaching through now the book of Matthew, I have said that Jesus Christ was a young man in a hurry on this side, here on earth. He came here for a purpose, and he knew what he had to do, and he was going towards it. And he was getting on up out of here. I have marveled, and I think others have marveled, at the short ministry span of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3.5 years, they tell us. He was on the move. He was flat getting it. He was showing the world what you can do in less than 4 years. You could do a lot. But God, the eternal God, is not in a hurry. He's too loving to be in a hurry. That's why he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He could have created the entire universe in an instant, yet he preferred to do it over a period of 6 days. Pardon me, 6 days. He could have delivered Israel from Egypt in a moment, yet he preferred to invest 80 years in training Moses. For that matter, he could have sent the Savior much sooner, but he waited until the fullness of the time was come. While God works in time, and yes, in mysterious ways, he is not limited by time. Never, never, never. Oftentimes we pray for things to God, and would like to see God have those things to come to pass quickly. But God has shown me that most of the time when I pray for something, the answer is coming, but it's a while. It's going to be a while. But I remember one time I was driving a car, and my daughter Danae was in the car. My son Daniel Ezekiel was in the car. We were going to the store. And you know, most of these cars, they give you, they got a little gauge of this, saying you have 73 miles before you're empty, or 43 miles before you're empty. And so we We were sitting at about 45 miles one night, and we were headed to the store, pick up something to eat for the next day, which we have done for years. And lo and behold, the car cut off on us on a hill. And if you ever ran out of gas before, you know the sound of turning the key and it's just not getting any gas. Gauge saying 43 miles to empty. And all we had to go was, I was not even thinking about getting gas. All we had to go was maybe a mile and a half to the grocery store. And so, as is my custom, I started praying. And I prayed and asked God for a miracle. And God told me what to do. And made one phone call. And the woman had already stated the price would be, you know, for any tow truck to come out at that time of night. It was around 10:30 at night. It was going to be $69 for anything. And that was burning into our food money. And so we prayed, and within minutes, this man came by with a tow truck out of nowhere. Normally it takes you, you know, an hour for somebody to even get to you. He came out of nowhere in minutes. We needed a quick answer to prayer. And God has done this down through the years for me, for us, and for others. You can pray for something for weeks and months, and then it comes to pass. We thank God for that. But God is not limited by time. He can make things happen quickly if he wants to, and if he sees that you need it. And we needed it that night because we were in a pickle. We were in a very precarious situation. We were going down a slope onto the street, and we were just inches away from the street. So if I let up on anything, we would be out in the street and can't crank the car. And it's one of those darker highways where people just go zooming by. And we couldn't push it anywhere because we were on that incline. And so I prayed. Altogether, the time that lapsed was about maybe 10 to 15 minutes altogether. From the time we found out what was going on until we finally called somebody after talking to God. And then the man came out of nowhere. I've never seen the man before. I have not seen him since. And here's what the man did. And I can't tell you his name or his company's name because they could get into trouble. I mean, God had prepared the man and prepared his heart. I've never seen this done before in my life. It has never been done to me before. And I've never seen anybody else do it in my life. He came ready. I thought he was going to pull the car back up the hill and do this and that and leave us dry, high and dry. And so, no, he didn't do that. He said, look here, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you all stay in the car. You know, you're not supposed to do that. You all stay in the car, and I'm going to pull you up on this thing, and I'm going to take you all to the gas station, and I'm just going to charge you $20. That's what he did. We got to the gas station riding on top of a tow truck, which everybody knows that's illegal. I mean, that's common sense. But God will do some things for you. Because, see, we still needed gas, and we still needed the groceries. So he took us on that same busy road with all of us sitting up in the vehicle on a tow truck. And he was driving like he was not driving like we were up there. Let me put it that way. And he lowered us down, and we got the gas. We had enough money to get the gas and enough money to get the groceries. And I just gave him $20. And I had to call. I was so moved by what God had done through these people. I had to call the office and say thank you again. So God is not limited by time. God can make it happen quickly if you have faith in Him and trust in Him, if you need that. But anyway, while God works, to God, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. God can accomplish in one day what it would take others a millennium to accomplish. He waits to work. But once He begins to work, He gets things done. Very thoroughly, by the way. The scoffers did not understand God's eternality, nor did they understand His mercy and His grace. Why was God delaying the return of Jesus Christ and the coming of the day of the Lord? It was not because He was unable to act, unwilling to act, or that He was slacking off on the job, as they tried to indicate. He was not tardy or off schedule. Nobody on earth has the right to decide when God must act. You should not even think along those lines. God is sovereign in all things and does not need prodding or even counsel from sinful, ungodly men. God delays the coming of Christ and the great day of fiery judgment because He is long-suffering and wants to give lost sinners the opportunity to be saved. And speaking of that, my dear friends, are you saved tonight? That's why we're still here. God is waiting on you. You want to know why the second coming has not taken place? You have not come to Him the first time. Out of God's love for you, remember now, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why God is still waiting. That's why the second coming has not taken place. Because God is waiting on you, dear sinner friend. How about it? Are you ready to be saved from eternal punishment in hell? Are you ready to get your eternal life insurance policy paid for in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, tonight is your night. Now, dear friend, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in Him, because He is coming again, and you do not want to be left behind. And the reason why He has not come yet is because of God's love. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is waiting on you. God has made His move. He's waiting on you to make your move. And so here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation, for your salvation from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have done evil. We all have broken God's Ten Commandments. We're all guilty. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever disrespected or dishonored your parents by cursing them under your breath, having a nasty attitude? Have you ever dishonored God with a nasty attitude and disrespecting God and taking His holy name in vain? Just the other day, Drake, who I believe is a Jew, he's a rapper, while he was disrespecting the husband of a woman in question, he took the Lord Jesus' name in vain. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever lusted after somebody and coveted after somebody or something that other people have? Have you ever stolen anything? How about from your mother, some change out of her purse? How about from your father, some money out of his drawer so that you can buy some candy that he did not give you permission to buy? Have you ever lied before? I just named 5 of God's 10 commandments, and I would venture to say, without even meeting you, you have broken all 5 of them. Should I go on to the other 5? Have you ever committed adultery? Physically? Or in your heart, in your mind? And on we can go. Would you agree now that you are a sinner, as I am? And guess what? The Pope is a sinner too. All priests, all bishops, all pastors are sinners as well. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. I'm picking some people who look innocent. Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, is a sinner as well. We all have sinned against God, and we all have done evil, haven't we? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Secondly, I want you to understand, dear friend, that you need to accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. 3 preachers were funeralized publicly today across the nation. 3 men of God, a man and his wife. And they call her a pastor as well. So 4 pastors died over the past couple of weeks. And it seems as though they were all funeralized or memorialized or remembered today. You know why they died? They died because of sin, just like you and me. They didn't die because, and they all died of the coronavirus, but that was just the means of death. They really died because of sin. Our sinful nature and our sinful choices. It may sound uncomfortable, but it is true. We die because of sin, and we're all on death row, by the way. We just don't know when we're going to die. We don't die because of the coronavirus plague. We don't die because of car accidents. We don't die because of cardiac arrest. We don't die because of these things. We die because of sin. Carnality, how about that? We've done evil in God's sight. And you will die one day too. Live your life. Just understand, as King Solomon said, you can do what you want in this life. Just understand that you're going to die and you're going to be brought before God for judgment. Just remember that. Each and every one of us. Your body will go to a grave as those pastors who died tonight, and I hope all of them went to heaven, but their body is in a cold grave somewhere tonight, while family members and friends are going to a cold house to continue to go through the pain of death that death leaves behind. Can you imagine the pain of leaving someone in a cold, dark grave, their body, and you have to go back to a cold house without them? That's the part of the pain of death that we who are living go through. And especially with the coronavirus plague, which all of these have died of, you can't hug them. You can't kiss them goodbye. The funeral is, quite frankly, jacked up. That's just the way it is. It's a painful thing, death. And don't you ever forget it. It is a judgment by itself. Believe me when I tell you that. Death is a painful judgment by itself, my dear friend. And then your eternal soul goes to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ. Your eternal soul goes to the torments of hell. And one of the greatest torments of hell to me is that it lasts forever. Hell is forever. The torment, the pain, the fire, the maggots, the screaming, the hollering, the painful, agonizing, tormenting memory forever and forever. Hell is a very serious place. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, and in fact, Jesus Christ, sad to say, preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Why? Because he hates us? No. Because he loves us. Because he does not want you to miss what he did for you. And what did he do for you to save you from hell? Jesus Christ suffered. He bled and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Jesus Christ went through hell and went to hell for you and for me so that we would not have to go to the hell we deserve. By the way, let me ask you this. Do you believe you deserve to go to hell? I know I do. I have no doubt. I have no questions about that. I have no problem saying that because I have experienced God's grace and I know that I don't deserve it. And you don't either. That's what's so wonderful about God's grace, love, and mercy. We don't deserve it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So hell is a real place, dear friend. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body. Don't fear the carjackers. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a serious place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is a sad place. We participated online with one of the funerals, well, two of the funerals today. And one of the funerals was particularly sad because of the coronavirus plague pandemic. It was a sad funeral. It was one of the first sad funerals I've ever attended that pertains to a Christian person. For some strange reason, it was a sad funeral. In case you wanted to know, here's a few people who are going to hell. You might find yourself in the number. The Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, people who commit abominations, these are they who commit incest with their own children, own brother, sister, son or daughter, committing abominable acts, committing abominations. These are they who look at pornography for little children, and they molest little children and rape little children. Some of them are priests and pastors and preachers. These are they who are going to hell. Don't you worry about it. God's going to take care of these people. And these are people that even sinners, regular sinners, are angry with and mad with. The abominable, the homosexuals, the sodomites, and the lesbians committing abominable acts, men with men, women with women, adopting children and making them twofold more the child of hell than themselves. Murderers, whoremongers, heterosexuals, men and women who are committing adultery and fornication and having sex outside of marriage, heterosexually, using the internet, finding more sin partners. They're on Ashley Madison. They would not dare commit the abomination of homosexuality, but they will commit adultery and do swinging and try to justify their adultery, saying it is helping them to keep their marriage together. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, crystal balls and palm readers, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, unbelievers, the so-called atheists and agnostics, and all liars. If God didn't get you with the other ones, he got you on the other one, on this one right here, I can guarantee you that. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and you can mark it down. This is going to happen. You wonder why God is waiting to send his son back? Because of this right here. He knows because of his justice, because of his holiness, there's no other place for you to go, you wicked sinners. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to the lake of fire forever and ever. You can mark it down. Red, yellow, black, or white makes no difference who you are. Rich or poor, you will spend eternity in the burning hell in the lake of fire. And that's why God waits. God is being merciful. He's not slack. He is not one who breaks his promises. He always keeps his promises. And here's a promise for you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Go ahead on and do what you want to do. Just understand you're going to have to face God in the judgment. And here's another promise for you that he always keeps. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice how simple salvation is, dear friend. Salvation, you say, well, salvation from what? What am I being saved from? I'm glad you asked, because I grew up in church and never knew. You're being saved from hell forever. And you're getting saved to heaven forever by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus Christ said. Whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him. The word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in Jesus Christ. And as soon as you do that, Jesus promises you should not perish. That means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. It doesn't get any more simple than that. It doesn't get any easier than that, my dear friend. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to be in a beautiful, ornate church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved or to the preacher to get saved. You don't have to do any great works for the church to get saved. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he paid your sin debt. Your eternal life insurance policy is already paid for in full and signed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be the only insurance policy you won't have to pay for each month, because it's paid in full. Why? As the songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. It's all paid for. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. You can't work for it. You can't pay for the gift. You can't sacrifice for the gift. All you can do with the gift is receive it and say thank you. So, dear friend, receive the gift of salvation tonight before you drop off into hell, because you do need to understand, if you died tonight unsaved, the Bible teaches that there's no purgatory, there's no limbo, there's no in-between. You will go straight to hell and you will be there for the rest of eternity. You will lift up your eyes in the flames and torments of hell if you reject Jesus Christ. And by the way, I said this last night, I'm going to say it again tonight. The greatest sin that you will ever commit, and the sin that will land you in hell, is rejecting the love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and what they did for you on the cross. You can bank on that. I mean, that's love for you. For God so loved the world, that includes you, you're in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's love for you. And if you reject that love, you're going to hell. As sure as you're looking at me, that's the greatest sin right there, rejecting that kind of love, rejecting love that Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin, took on your sin, your ugly, stinking sin, upon himself and became the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God for the sins of the world. And he took away all of our sin, suffered, bled, and died in doing so, was humiliated before the world, embarrassed and whipped like he was a criminal because of your sin and my sin. That's love for you. He loved you so much, he stretched out his arms and said, I love you this much. They hung him high and they dropped him low, shaking every bone in his body, crushing him, suffocating him, He died for your sins, your wickedness, your nasty attitude, your disobedience, your hatred, your racism, your prejudice, your meanness, your nastiness, your adultery, your fornication, your homosexuality, your lesbianism. Jesus took all of your nasty sins upon himself. And he suffered, bled, and died. He paid your sin debt. And he took all of our sins away. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. He was buried and he rose on the third day by the power of God for you and for me. And your salvation, my dear friend, is paid for in full. Do not be foolish and reject it. Receive the free gift of salvation. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to do it. You're right, preacher. You're telling some, you're preaching real good. I'm going to do it in the future, but I'm not ready right now. Let me go get myself cleaned up. No, that's the devil telling you that. He's trying to damn your soul to hell. That's the devil telling you that. Because, first of all, you can't clean yourself up. There's not enough soap. The idea is to come to Jesus and let him clean you up. He did that for me. He can do it for you. So believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And let's pray together. I'll lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart as we pray the sinner's prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I indeed have broken your Ten Commandments as the preacher mentioned them today. And Lord, as the preacher read through the people that you said were going to hell, I'm in that number. I do understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul tonight. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my wicked, evil life to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. And dear friend, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tarries, is coming, we'll be back here tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. We'll be back here for the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, as well, right after that, the Gospel Lighthouse of Prayer Communion service. And then we will, of course, take a break throughout the afternoon. And we will come back at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. That's 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And I will be preaching the Just Jesus Evangelistic Crusade message tomorrow night as we are continuing through the book of Matthew. And if you have a prayer list, please add us to it. Make sure you pray without ceasing for yourself and for your family, for your ministry, your pastor, your church. And as you know, I have preached, by the grace of God, the gospel for over 5 years, every day, with the exception of a few days. And I thank God for the privilege. And all of that time, you've never really heard me say anything about money. But now that the prosperity gospel garbage is dead, and preachers are not embarrassing other preachers with that foolishness, I can humbly ask for your help, as we have reached many thousands with the gospel, and already. And with your help, we can reach millions more. And we're trying to raise $24,000 to solidify the ministry and build up the ministry, get new equipment, fortify our building and studio and all of that, and get everything up to snuff, as we have not taken much time to deal with all of that, and of course we didn't use the money for that. But we need new cameras, we need new computers and things like that, and some other wonderful things we need to add to reach out to more people. And now I know some of you are excited about the stimulus checks and so forth, and that's wonderful. And all of that money needs to go to you and your family, if you are privileged to get the money. Use it for you and your family. I am a preacher, but that's not income, okay, that you worked for. And I do not believe you ought to send not a dime of that money to me or to the ministry. And I do not believe you ought to send not a dime of it, to some other ministry or some other preacher. And if any preacher asks you specifically for some money from your stimulus check, you need to leave that church. Don't you give them a dime. I said it. Don't give me a dime. And some of you, out of the goodness of your heart, you might want to do so. Don't do that. You need every dime of that money. Because you see how long this one took? You may not even get this one. Some didn't get the last one or the one before that. So if you get something, you use it for you and your family. You're going to need every penny to catch up your rent, your mortgage, your electricity bill, car note, if you have a car still. Use it for that. And some of these churches ought to be giving you a check themselves. And so forth. So we're not asking for you to do anything. But for those of you who don't, you won't be getting the check because you make too much money. you're rich. You don't even know how your bills are paid because you never see a bill because you're too rich to see a bill. We're talking to you. If you donated $24,000, it'd be like donating $25 to you. And we'll be good to go for the next 5 years. Imagine that. A ministry that can reach millions of people and get them saved, get people saved out of that number, and even back with the Lord. A ministry that is proven to do that because of the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We believe that. And so I preach the gospel every service, as I did tonight. And people get saved all around the world. Their names and the country they're from is already listed. You can go to bcn1.com and see the list of some of the people who've gotten saved and who've come back to the Lord. And the gospel works if you would just preach it. And so you can help us do that with greater numbers. Millions can get saved and you will be a part of that. So we're asking you to help us if the Lord will so lead you. Only if the Lord will lead you to do so, please help. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. If you are a member of another church, even if it's online, and it should be, make sure you go to that church tomorrow at the time that they're going to have church. And if the Lord will so lead you to come back and be with us in our evening service, if your church does not have evening service, come back and be with us if the Lord will so lead you. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.